All right, there we go. Test, test. Testing 1, 2, 3. Well, good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. We have a great, fun, jam-packed time we're going to do right now. And so why don't we go ahead and get comfortable, which means turn your chair right around. And if you want to join a different table, or if there's room somewhere where you can, if you're sitting, like if you've got your back to me where it's hard to, whatever you got to do, get comfortable. And you know, Kingdom Builders is very special to us. When we started Kingdom Builders, some of the greatest persecution I got from in the church took place. It was one of those. There's been a few decisions where I got beaten up regularly. This is one of them. And people left because we started Kingdom Builders, and people took me on because we started Kingdom Builders. From the perspective of, we should not treat those with money different than those without money, quote unquote. And so, as if many of you heard the first things that I said in the starting of Kingdom Builders, it was that God has given gifts to people, and that whatever those gifts are, as a pastor, I am to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so if your giftedness is teaching kids and reaching kids, well then we're going to equip you for kids ministry. If your ability is working with youth, we're going to equip you. If you can sing and play and lead God's people in worship that, you know, touches hearts and souls, we're going to group the gifting of worship and praise and instruments together, and we're going to teach them. And when God dealt with us that we needed to bring together those with a passion to give. And as some of you smiled when I said that, because you probably know a ton of people who make more than you, and they're not here, and you're here at great cost to be here. And I recognize that. And so Kingdom Builders is a very special, special thing to us. I believe that what it does for me is very special. You don't know how many times I'm in the middle of something. And you'll notice I don't share a lot of stuff that goes down that's hard. I'll maybe do it a few years down the road. But often when we're in the midst of transitioning into new things, or I'm in the midst of stuff, you see me come into Kingdom Builders, and it's just like I just, oh, because I'm with people who understand. And so Kingdom Builders is very special. And one of the things I said I think it was last time we got together, was that we were going to begin to hear what God is doing in the lives of our Kingdom Builders. And that we're going to hear testimonies, things that's on your heart, because in this room are incredible testimonies. And in this room are incredible people with something to say. And so that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to interview our first a couple, and I'm going to share and have them share with me. I'll share a little bit at the end, and I'm excited about this. And I mean, if there's something burning on your heart, you say, Leon, I'd love it, let me know. And so today I want to invite Ed and Carolyn Dale to come on up, and we're going to have a... a rose between two thorns. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to interview them, and so you're not here. This is just us in the studio, and I think are the mics on here? There, that one's on for you. Let's make sure that one's on. And so we're going to get a chance to talk, and I'm going to just kind of go for it, and then we'll go from there. Father, bless our time together. Thank you for Kingdom Builders. Thank you that, Father, some of the decisions that we make are so crucial for what is ahead of us. Bless our time together as they share what you've placed in their heart. I pray that in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right. So,
testing. Oh, it works.
Give a little test there, Ed.
Okay. Testing.
All right. Well, we had a chance to like do about a fast skim over kind of what we want to talk about, so it's going to be exciting. But you guys have always been in, this is Kingdom Builders, it's giving. You guys have always been involved in giving, even before we started Kingdom Builders. It was an important part of your life. So, Carolyn, why is giving, because giving's not a passion for like 96% of our church. Well, why are you passionate about giving, you guys?
Ed and I, like, we've been attending Springs for 19 years, and something that's interesting about my relationship with Springs is I've been on the inside. And so I've worked on staff, so I know what's going on. And I've absolutely loved it.
How many years were you on staff?
Just under 10.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was doing children's ministry and also creative events. And I got to see the inner workings of Springs and just the impact it was making. And, you know, to me, Springs Church is a beacon of hope to people all around the world. And I think because Ed and I have traveled so much, and, you know, just for ordinary people, we've traveled so much, not like you travel, but we've seen poverty and we've seen hopeless people and their need for God. And we've got something so good and that we need to share it with the world. And so I'm passionate about giving because I want the world to see what, have what we have and experience what we have, because Ed and I have been so blessed. And our family has been blessed, and we love it so much. When you first asked me to, you know, asked us to do this, I have to take notes because I can't just do stuff at the top of my head like that. And I started writing, and 3 pages later, I just got tired, and I stopped.
But 3 pages of what?
3 pages of why I love Springs.
I want to see that.
It's at the table. It's at the table.
Really?
It's at the table.
Wow.
I love it. There's so much that we do.
Do you think that? I know I do. That we kind of become familiar.
Yes.
We have no idea what God is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned, Ed and I, like, we've been to the, you know, the refugee camps in Thailand. We've been to the garbage dumps in Mexico. We've been in Costa Rica and seen the poor people. I've been to Africa twice. And I've seen people who are so desperate for God. And people are fleeing their countries to come here because they have freedom of speech, they have freedom of religion, they want God, they need God. And so we are so blessed here, and sometimes I don't think we realize just what we have. And, you know, I was just thinking, one of my things on my list was something that's sort of well known in Springs is that people's marriages get better when they come here. And so your relationship get better because you teach on that. Just the devoted you were talking about unconditional love a few weeks ago was unbelievable. And just, you know, it really just touched my heart about, you know, what unconditional love is. And so marriages that are helped, people who are in marriage difficulties are really struggling. And when they come to Springs and they learn principles that are easy to understand and easy to apply, and it changes their life, it makes such a difference in that family. And so then their kids, so their marriage gets restored, their family gets healed. The kids go in children's ministry, the youth, you know, they go to youth ministry. And you know what, families make up our country, families make up our cities. And so, you know, we also talk, so it's important to have a healthy family. I think that's a miracle every day.
Yeah.
It's a miracle every day. But something we talk about as well is that we're multi-generational.
Yes.
And so, you know, so this healthy family now raises up all these healthy kids. And our granddaughter a couple weeks ago, she said, Mommy, what day is it? And Kaisley said, it's Sunday. She goes, I love Sunday. I get to go to church. She goes, and I love Jesus. He rescued me.
Oh.
And so we're all like crying, you know. But that's the generational thing that gets passed down. But something that's interesting is dysfunction gets passed down too. And so dysfunction gets passed down. So the, you know, the alcoholism, the abuse, the everything else gets passed down. And so for me, Springs is a fresh start for people. That's what it is. It's a fresh start. It's a second chance for people. And Springs comes in and intervenes in those generations so it can break those chains and break those addictions. And you know what? We can't take it for granted.
No.
We can't. It's so good. And Ed and I, we've traveled all over the world. We've seen what churches are like. There's nothing like Springs. And so that's why we love.
So you've
to
been
give.
To big churches too.
We've been to big churches too, and you know what? We've seen some of their problems there, and I'm like, Yahoo! It's not just us, you know. But I was in children's ministry. Like, okay, ours is better than that. But I love Springs.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So that's why giving is so important to you. It's generational. There's something going on here that you want to be a part of.
It's a beacon of hope.
It's a beacon of hope.
For people all over the world. I work at Miracle Channel, so I have a couple of insights. They had put your series on a channel in the Middle East, and I think you got 6 weeks of it. And apparently 3,400 people, they gave a response. Yeah. That's known in Miracle Channel.
Praise the Lord.
And so that's just one thing. People are hungry for God. They want God and they need God. And so, and we have something so good and we want to be able to share it and help other people. It's not just about us.
Right. Yeah. We got to kind of get over.
Yeah.
We got to be so humble. We don't want to talk too much. Get on with it. We got stuff to do.
Yeah.
Let's get out of the immaturity of.
Yeah.
Ed, money. All right, let's talk money. People don't seem to want to talk about money much. It's almost like kind of that Mennonite thinking, and I admire the Mennonites, don't get me wrong, of, you know, should never know, how's that go, your left hand should never know what your right hand's doing or something like that. And we've almost immersed this area of giving where we shouldn't talk about it. And it's hurt the Church of Jesus Christ. But now giving is something that's been important to you. What would you say to add to what Carolyn is saying? Why is giving so important to you?
to me, it's pretty simple. I'm an A personality, so if you put everything aside, it's all about souls. And to me, we have to take ourselves from surviving and being stable being successful in life, and then going into this significant state where we can actually get zillions of people saved. And that's just inside my heart. And I'm not just talking about, there's a million ways to get people saved, but what seems to happen every time I get around Pastor Leon is that he'll tell me some of these stories about what's going on in Iran and in all these different countries and like how we're having such an effect and all we need is the dough to do it, right, really. So we made a decision that we were going to step out of our comfort. We're in a state now where we're relatively comfortable, we're successful in our business, could retire, but, you know, I see all my buddies retiring, they golf a lot, but they get bored after a bit, and they die, or they do what? So I didn't really want to go there. So I really said to Caroline, you know what, we really got to make up our minds to do something. And I've always, always wanted, from our upbringing, we got taught, you know, you never want to do anything that's just normal, right? You always wanted to go way out in left field where you know it's got to be God that's doing this because I cannot do this on my own. So because we're talking about giving, we're totally just ecstatic about what God has put in our heart. He told us that we were supposed to give $1 million to our church. And, that's all fine and dandy. It's exciting, but when it comes down to being practical, I don't have millions floating around. I knew it wasn't Satan that told me to give $1 million to the church. So I figured, well, I need to pay attention and let him minister to me and to Carolyn as how we're going to do this. And so I was out at the lake. Carolyn was tied up doing something. I was out at the lake myself. And I was driving back, and God gave me this plan. This very easy plan.
Use a mic, Ed.
Oh, sorry. This very easy plan of how we could do this. It's so easy, it's mind-bending. So what he told me to do was, in my business, what we do is, as we make money, this is just my personality, I put money aside in a tax account. right? So that at the end of the year, I got money to pay my taxes. And I feel comfortable doing that. I'd rather pay more taxes than less taxes, because I don't have heat at the end of the year. So that's just what I do. And it's done good by us so far. So anyway, so what he's told me to do was take the money. I usually pay about $250,000 in taxes. He told me to take the $250,000 and give it to the church instead of giving it to the tax department. And I thought to myself, that sounds kind of out there. But, you know, that was what he told me. He said, in 4 years, you'll have your $1 million paid for. And he said the really important part about doing this is that I needed to do it while I was working so I would have an income, right, to do this with. You could do it while you're retired, but you don't have an income, so it's like totally negating the effect of a tax credit. So, again, being anal, I got a hold of my accountant, and we went down and met with him. I went down and met with him, and I had just gone to a session with Steve Grissom on leaving a legacy, and it was really important to Carol and I. This is all in a big circle. We wanted to leave our kids a legacy, not just an inheritance. Anybody can leave an inheritance. We wanted to leave a legacy of getting souls saved and getting off your butt and getting souls saved, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily easy. As I said, we don't have $1 million lying around where we can just go write a check. We had to figure out, and God gave us this plan, right? It was a really exciting plan. So went to the accountant, told him what Steve had told us, and I said to the guy, he's a good accountant, I trust him. I said, I want you to check all these different things out, plus the idea that I had given you, and report back to us in a week or so. So he called me back, he says, come on in. So I went in, and he said, you can do foundations, you can do charitable donations, you can do all these different things that every good accountant will know about. But the best thing that I've seen that you can use is the plan that God has given you. Because I was kind of ministering to this accountant about what I was doing. He thought, wow, anybody that wanted to do this, I'm going to listen. That's what he told me. He says, why do you want to do this? That was his question to me. I says, oh, it's because I believe in the church. And so anyways, we went through that. And he said, yeah, I'll put my name on it. Give me all the facts and the figures. And as it turns out, I'll just give you some quick numbers. Any personalities will want some numbers. But I'm not an accountant. I'm just saying, if it's in your heart to do anything like this, God can give. If he can give me a way to do it, he can give you a way to do it. And So I just think that if you hear these numbers, like our goal was to give $1 million, okay? So if you give $250,000 from your tax account, if we do that, plus we give our normal tithe, okay, we will owe $41,000 each year at the end of that year. So if we do that for 4 years, we'll owe 4 times $41,000, which is $164,000, right? So we give $1 million, and it costs us $161,000. So I figured, okay, I'm in. Like, I'm in. I have to be brain dead not to be in on this one. Because one thing I didn't show you was, he showed me a big desert, like a huge desert, with zillions of white turbans in this desert, all bowing down to our Father. And every time Satan tries to come in and tell us that or tell me that I'm nuts. I just see those turbans. I just see them and I think, it just gives me such a fantastic reason to live and to keep plugging and to keep growing and not get into normality, not getting to survival mode. But God wants us to be significant. I feel we can all be significant. I'm just a farm boy. I grew up in Lauder, Manitoba. It's a ghost town. I'm just a farm boy. We can all do this. So he may have different ways for you, but all I'm saying is, for us, we wanted to do something different. We're going to start a million-dollar club. So you guys get ready to join, because I'm believing that we're going to have way more than us doing this. That's our goal. Is Pastor Leon's doing so much out there doing, when he just reports to you what he's been doing all week, it's just like honestly, it's just like so exciting. So that's my testimony.
Wow, praise the Lord. So to clarify, you had to pay $250,000 anyway to the government. So in the way that your accountant, the Lord showed you, and the accountant confirmed that, is if you give it to the church, that you're only going to owe, instead of 250, was it 40 of that?
41,000, yes. See, when you give larger amounts of money, that's why people that have like way more money than we do, when they give in those higher brackets, that's where the big deductions are. And all the accountants in the audience will know that. But that's where the action is. That's why you want to go from little to big, because that's where you see the big difference.
So what are you saying? You're starting a millionaire's club. So if anybody wants to do this, they can just come talk to you then.
Absolutely, anytime. I'm here, my phone number's available anywhere. My name's Ed Dale, so you can talk to me anytime.
Wow. Don't know what to say after that. It's like, thank you for sharing. I know it's embarrassing talking numbers half the time, because, you know, I know you guys, and your first concern is, okay, are they gonna think that this is my ego talking? But I think that the way for us as a church to break free from this, for some reason, this, you know, money, let's talk about money, and we look around and say, no, we talk about everything else that is succeeding in our church. We talk about, and we raise up people in so many areas, that this is an area that we need to talk, we need to get together. And you're right, that if there are men and women here, then this is just a desire. They just won't even know how you did it. If you're going to say this in front of everybody now, you'll have no problem showing them how, referring them to your accountant or whatever you're going to do. And then there's anyone else that's watching right now goes, you know, well, that's nice, but there's nowhere I can afford that. Well, we're not comparing anybody. We're just saying, you begin to believe God for this. And God will take us there. It's like you said, little old town, Manitoba, and
it's
God.
The regular Joe.
Yeah, and God continues to raise us up. Yeah. And if Springs really is going to reach people for Christ, and Springs has already entered the arena of world. Like sometimes people say, well, Leon, you keep talking about the world, but what about here? What about Winnipeg? What about Calgary? Well, what's interesting is that the Bible says that. Go into the world and preach the gospel. And it says Jerusalem first, which is our Jerusalem. And our start, Winnipeg, you know. And from there, then it says Judea, then it says Jerusalem first, then Judea, which is the surrounding area. So there is our other provinces in our country. Then it says Judea, Samaria, which is people who are marginalized. We can't ever forget those who are outcasts. That's what it means when it uses the word Samaritans. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. And what stunned me was I thought decades down the road, Springs would move in a step-by-step fashion that we'll touch here, we'll get across the cities of Canada, which, and I clearly said that, everybody, hey, let's take the cosmopolitan cities of Canada, let's get to them, let's plant a church, let's, you know, and we had all these things planned, because I'm a planner. And God never seems to stick to my plans. But he seems to like the fact that we plan. Because many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the one from God that stands.
Yeah.
And so here a number of years ago, because we were obedient to go into television, all of a sudden we went straight to the world before we even got across a province. So here we are with this church at church. It's not an entire denomination. Like I was speaking at a place in Florida, one of the largest denominations in the world. I guess 153,000 churches in 100 countries. So they asked me to come in and share Spirit Contemporary. And as I'm there, I'm realizing they don't even have a TV station. That whole denomination. They're not, and so you begin to look at how God took one church, and all we've done is share vision, but people have risen up and they've given and they've believed and they've prayed. And then we report back as best we can. This is what God is doing. And so it's the only way we're going to be able to do great things for God is that if we can get out of our comfort zone and go to the world, then I'm believing God for financial people to get out of their comfort zone and say, I'm at least believing God to give.
Yeah.
Right.
And would you say that when you started believing to give was when things started to move in that direction?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You said something about fear. Tell me that line again. Faith and fear.
Actually, it's in Devoted. And you wrote it. And I love Devoted, by the way. And I always tell people, read it three times. Like, at least read it three times, because there's so much in it. But you said, a couple weeks ago, you said, faith and fear both ask you to believe in the invisible. And when I read that, I went, oh, my gosh. And Ed went, oh, my gosh. Like, that is so true. It's so true.
It is very
so
true.
So why be in fear about it? But something else that I think is so important is that when we give, sometimes we think it's God needing our money and, you know, God wanting us to give to him. He wants our heart.
Yeah.
And he wants to bless you. And, you know, once we made that decision to actually give the money, because, you know, we talked about it and, you know, Ed first said, you know, I think God said we're supposed to give $1 million. And I went, no way. No way. Like, forget it. And, you know, then we talked about it and, you know, God spoke to our hearts. And then we realized, like, I realized this was right. Like, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. But the phenomenal things he did in our heart, like, he wants us, he wants our heart. And that's where the adventure begins.
Wow.
That's where the fun begins, because now you're doing stuff that is way bigger than you could ever imagine. Your capacity increases, you're helping others. And you had said in a service once about men, very wealthy men who were depressed, and how they got out of it was that they had to do something for someone else that they couldn't reap a reward from. Like, they didn't get anything out of it. They just helped people, you know, random people who couldn't pay them back. And there's something about giving that is so incredible. I remember you asked me about a year ago, you said, why do you give? And I said, it's going to be so selfish why I'm telling you this. I said, because it feels so good. It feels so good. And God wants your heart. And he's not a man that he should lie. And he's faithful over his word to perform it. And it's true. And so when he says, test me now on this to see if I will not pour out a blessing you cannot contain, he means it. And so you take God at his word. And I'm believing we're going to see just the heavens are going to open and we're going to see incredible things that we've never seen before.
Yeah, when we give our first check for $250,000 in December, it was like every day when you get up, you have this expectancy about what's going to happen in your life. Like, who can I help? Whose house are we going to sell? Or whatever. It's just, you're just happy. You got something bigger than yourself. You don't have to be thinking about yourself all the time. It's so boring thinking about yourself all the time. Like,
how much can you have?
Like, really?
Yeah, like, it's so fun to help other people.
Yeah. I mean, we all want to leave our kids an inheritance, but we want to leave our kids a legacy. This is one way of doing everything in one time. We want to be known as soul savers, not as beach huggers in Florida. Not there's anything wrong with the beaches in Florida, but we just want, you know, we want to set a good example for our kids, you know.
So good. You made a comment. Did you guys, like, when things come up that we say, church, we're going to do this, or you guys ask God for an amount. You ask him to show you. Is that what you were saying? And you show them each other separately, and then you talk?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly simple. We believe God's like gigantic, enormous, like huge. He can speak to both Carolyn and me if there's a specific thing to give to or need, whether it's to the Indian people or to whatever specific thing it is, we always do this thing, well, what did you get? And she'll say, well, what did you get? And, you know, you know, it's always an interesting process, but very, very often he tells us exactly the same number. Why wouldn't he tell us the same number? And as you grow and you grow and you grow, it kind of pertains more to me because I have a tight streak in me. So she believes bigger than I believe normally, except with the $1 million thing. That was God's thing. But normally, and so we've grown and grown and just left it into the Lord's hands. And very often it's the same number. And consequently, we're just part of everything. It's really fun when you're part of something so big. We've been in other spots where we didn't see all these souls saved.
Yeah, like every Sunday, yeah. You know, that's something I had in my notes as well. I said, I love that every Sunday, when you say, you know, who wants to join me in that prayer? And you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it keeps going on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I usually tear up every time and I count.
Now you had a bunch this week, Dave. Oh, it was so fun when I was hearing that. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's so cool.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of people around the world listen to the Springs program who are pastors. And they'll often tell me why they're listening. And they actually, none of them tell me it's from my message. And they say, when you get to the end, you include the thank yous. And I hear you go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And how deeply it touches their heart. And we, as a staff, we got together one time because people will tell me sometimes, you know, Leon, there was a day in our church where we were growing. We were doubling every year. I mean, it was like 250 people the first year, then it was 500, then it was 1,000, then it was 2,000, then it, you know. And why did that stop? I said, what do you mean, why did it stop? Why did it stop? I said, it didn't stop. Well, I don't see that in our church. I said, oh, that's because you're looking in our church. I said, you know, when we begin to go on television around in English around the world, we begin to go to, we don't even have an ability to tabulate the numbers. We don't know how many people are watching what Springs produces, even when it came to the CDs and the sets, and then going on YouTube, and then all of this. But one of the things we worked out was about, we averaged it out that maybe 1% of every crowd gives their lives to Christ. If you've got 100 people, one will. If you've got, you know, 1,000 people in a service, 10 will. Now, we get way more than that lots of times, but sometimes less than that. So it's a conservative number. And as we begin to try to figure this out, we went, well, how many people are now listening to that message? And if it's 100,000 around the world in English, but then we've got Spanish and Russian and Italian, and what does that work out to? It's stunning, the amount of people who are giving their lives to Christ because one church made a decision that we're going to have an excellent church, we're going to televise this thing, we're going to go buy cameras, we're going to turn it into studios, then we're going to go out and we're going to get this thing around the world. So what the basis, like Sal and I were talking about 10 years ago, we had kind of this come to Jesus talk. What do we want to do with the rest of our lives? And it was a big deal. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, because we're getting into our 50s now, close to 50 then. And it was like, well, a lot of people are freedom 55. Well, I'd go crazy. You know, I plan on handing off everything I can to every great ministry that's going to rise up around us so that by the end, all I'll do is just point and direct, and there are going to be so many gifted people around us. But we thought, well, and we didn't know. We were kind of just talking. And I said, well, and so Sally will bug me. She'll go like, so, well, what's your vision? I said, well, I mean, let's take a crazy vision. Let's believe that the Springs Church could go to 50,000 people. We could do that and spend the rest of our lives having to raise, you know, maybe 100 million could build a church that would maybe seat, I don't know, 20,000 and do three services. But then we got to park the cars. We got to find the money. We got to look after the teens, the babies, the mom, blah, blah, blah. In cold, how do you walk from acres away in 30 below weather to a church? Are we going to build a heated car park, tunnels or what? So we're thinking this thing through, and then as we're talking, okay, I went, no. So 50,000 people, and I thought, well, what if we could help 1,000 churches win 50 people to Jesus each? That's 50,000 people. Then we don't have to look after them. They'll gladly look after them in a church of 150 or 200. Only problem is we don't get the credit. It's not a part of our picture. Our pictures, we haven't got any bragging rights. You know what I mean? But then who cares? And so therein began for us this massive push towards, let's take this message. Let's keep growing our churches, local churches, because everyone here's got to be reaching out. But let's go and let's make this church a world church. And that was about more than 10 years ago. And the second we made that decision, it wasn't but a year or two, and they handed us a TV station. It was bankrupt, but we got it. And then turned that thing around. And then God brought in this and that, and a Pakistan station wants to carry us, and an Iranian station wants to carry us. And it just went from language, then also in a Spanish station. And here we were doing things. So I agree with you. From your world and my world, I'm a pastor, so I don't have time to go out and, you know, and make money by running for-profit businesses. But here God is doing things that would have cost a normal... I have no idea what that channel, what the station was worth if we were to sell it today. You know what I mean? And I have no idea what it would cost if all of a sudden someone said, we're going to put you for free in 95 Spanish-speaking countries of the world. I don't know what that television bill would be like. But God kept doing near, simply because we believed. And if you're going to believe, both fear and faith require us to believe in the invisible.
That's right.
So we may as well go to the faith side and go, I'm going to sit in my fear the whole time.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys have inspired me. Your story inspires me. I'm so glad we had a chance to unpack a little bit of it with the Kingdom Builders. And thank you so much for doing that.
It's been great being here. Thank you. We love space.
Thank you.